Welcome to episode 1263 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We are still walking through a chapter on parables in our series 1010 with Jesus, A Deeper Look. In previous episodes, we've seen how Jesus speaks about forgiveness, repentance, and restoration, not as abstract ideas, but as life-changing realities. Today, we step into a dinner party in Luke 7, where Jesus tells a story so simple yet so profound, it captures the heart of the gospel, the parable of the two debtors. This parable sits inside one of the most powerful narrative scenes in the gospels. A sinful woman crashes a Pharisee's dinner party. She washes Jesus' feet with her tears, dries them with her hair, and pours expensive perfume on them. The host, Simon the Pharisee, silently criticizes Jesus for allowing such a woman to touch him. Jesus responds, not by arguing, but by telling a story.
Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?
I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven.
You have judged correctly.
In this short parable, Jesus reframes the entire scene, shifting the focus from the woman's sin to Simon's blindness. Both Simon and the woman are debtors. Both are spiritually bankrupt. But only one recognizes it. Only one responds with overwhelming love. To fully understand this parable, we need to see the cultural background. A Pharisee like Simon would host formal meals in a courtyard or open area. These meals weren't fully private. Townspeople could gather around the edges to watch or listen to the conversation. This explains how the woman could enter the scene. A woman labeled sinful, likely meaning a public sinner, perhaps even a prostitute, had no place in a Pharisee's home. Her presence would have been scandalous, and her touching of Jesus unthinkable. In Jesus' time, financial debt was a powerful image of moral or spiritual obligation. Being in debt was shameful and inescapable. Forgiveness of debt was not a routine act, it was extraordinary. Jesus uses this economic metaphor to illustrate the immeasurable value of grace. Jesus' story has three movements. First, two debtors. One owes 500 denarii, roughly 20 months' wages. The other, 50 denarii, about 2 months' wages. Both amounts are beyond what these individuals can pay back immediately. The point is not the size of the debt, but the inability to repay. Second, one moneylender. The moneylender forgives both debts. This is not just a partial reduction or a payment plan. This is a total release, wiping the slate clean. Third, one question. Which of them will love him more? Simon answers correctly. The one forgiven more will love more. But Simon doesn't realize that he's the one in the story who loves little because he feels he's been forgiven little. The scandal of this story is not just that the woman loved Jesus extravagantly. It's that Jesus revealed Simon's hidden debt. Simon thinks of himself as righteous and her as sinful. But Jesus shows that both are bankrupt. The difference is not the reality of sin, but the recognition of it. This parable cuts through our pride. Whether our sins are public or private, obvious or hidden, all of us stand before God as debtors who cannot pay. Grace is not just for those people out there. It's for us, all of us. And the more we understand the depth of our need, the greater our gratitude and love for the one who forgives. Let's get deep. This parable is like a window into the heart of Jesus. Three truths emerge about him. One, Jesus redefines worthiness. Simon thought proximity to holiness made him righteous. He followed the rules, hosted the religious teacher, and kept the law. The woman broke every social rule. Yet Jesus elevates her as the model of love and faith. Jesus' ministry consistently turns the world's categories upside down. Worthiness is not about status, reputation, or religious performance. It's about humility and repentance. This is why Jesus ate with tax collectors, touched lepers, and praised the faith of outsiders. His kingdom is a kingdom of grace. He is not embarrassed to be associated with sinners because restoring the unworthy is his mission. Two, Jesus exposes hidden sin while offering open grace. Notice Jesus doesn't shame the woman. He doesn't list her sins. He simply says, "Your sins are forgiven." But he does confront Simon, exposing his lack of hospitality and love. Jesus is both gentle and truthful. He comforts the contrite, but challenges the complacent. This shows us grace is not sentimental. It's not ignoring sin. It's exposing sin so that it can be forgiven. Jesus offers grace to both Simon and the woman. Only one accepts it. 3. Jesus links forgiveness and love. The heart of this parable is the link between forgiveness and love.
Whoever has been forgiven little loves little.
Jesus' ministry was not about creating people who follow rules out of duty, but people who love God out of gratitude. Forgiveness produces love. Grace produces worship. This is why Jesus' presence always creates either deep devotion or deep offense. This reveals the essence of his character. He came not to condemn, but to forgive. Not to reward the worthy, but to rescue the helpless. His purpose was to create a new kind of community. One defined by love, rooted in grace. How do we live this out today? Here are some practical takeaways. Recognize your debt. Start by acknowledging your own spiritual bankruptcy. Even if your sins are not public, they are real. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you where pride, selfishness, or hidden sin may lurk. This isn't about shame. It's about clarity. Only those who know their need can receive grace. Receive grace daily. Grace is not a one-time event at conversion. It's the ongoing foundation of the Christian life. Begin your day reminding yourself, I am a forgiven debtor. Let that identity humble you when you feel self-righteous and lift you when you feel condemned. Love extravagantly. The woman in Luke 7 didn't just quietly thank Jesus. She wept, poured perfume, and kissed his feet. Her love was public, costly, and unashamed. How can you respond to Jesus' forgiveness with extravagant love? Maybe it's worship. Maybe it's sacrificial giving. Maybe it's forgiving someone who's hurt you. Grace received becomes grace given. Extend grace to others. If you're a forgiven debtor, you can't withhold grace from other debtors. This is one of the hardest but clearest calls of the gospel. That person in your life who's difficult, annoying, or even harmful is also a potential recipient of grace. Pray for the Spirit to give you compassion rather than contempt. Challenge self-righteousness. We all have a bit of Simon in us. We compare ourselves to others and feel superior. Ask God to help you see people through his eyes. Ask him to replace judgment with empathy. This is especially needed in our polarized world, where those sinners often become scapegoats for our own insecurities. Imagine two people max out credit cards. One owes $50,000, the other owes $5,000. Both lose their jobs. Neither can pay. Then the bank cancels both debts. The one forgiven $50,000 breaks into tears, hugs the banker, and tells everyone. The one forgiven $5,000 shrugs, says thanks, and moves on. We live in a world where some sins are obvious, public scandals, addictions, failures, and others are socially acceptable, pride, self-righteousness, greed. But before God, all of us are bankrupt. Grace levels the playing field. The question is not who's worse. The question is who will love more. This parable is not just about individuals. It's about creating a culture of grace. In the early church, people from vastly different backgrounds, slaves and masters, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, ate at the same table. Why? Because they all saw themselves as forgiven debtors. Imagine if our churches today were like that. Imagine communities where no one has to pretend, where sinners can confess without fear, where grace flows freely. That's the kind of culture Jesus came to create. But it starts with you and me recognizing our need and extending grace. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, who did not turn away from sinners, but embraced us with compassion. Thank you for the forgiveness that frees us and for the love that draws us near. Like the woman at Jesus' feet, may we respond to your mercy not with hesitation, but with wholehearted worship, surrender, and joy. We ask that you tear down every wall of pride, every illusion of self-sufficiency, and every spirit of judgment that keeps us from loving fully. Shape us into a community of grace, where the forgiven forgive, where the broken are healed, and where your love flows freely. Teach us to remember who we are, people redeemed by your kindness. And may our lives overflow with gratitude that echoes in our relationships, our worship, our work, and our witness to the world. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.